Hello, my name is Lisa Elvin Stoltore, and this is my channel, Have Roots, Will Travel. I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. Over the last year, I've been doing these biographies of the Shijiazhuang, the founding mothers. What started off as just a very personal little project has turned into a real project where I'm actually intent on doing all of them because it's only fair, right? So what we do every week is we take a couple of the Shijiazhuang, the founding mothers, and we kind of do a mini biography of their life story. So if this is one of your Shijiazhuang for this episode, great. If not, and you haven't found yours yet, please write to me and I will let you know if she's coming up or if I'm going to put her on the list or if I've already done her. You might want to look at my website, Have Roots, Will Travel, because on that website, I actually have all the links and everything like that to the upcoming and the past ones. So have a look at that just to see where I'm at. We are now on episode number 82, so we've done quite a bit of work thus far. And as I mentioned, I have a website, but I also have a Facebook group as well. Have a look at that, and please feel free, like I say, to write any comments or questions. I'd be happy to respond, and I usually am pretty quick about doing so. So with that being said, let's get started and find out who's our girl for the week. Li Shijiazhuang, the king's daughter, was a program that was begun in 1663 by the intendant Jean Talon at the time. And I actually produced a video called the Program 2.0. Have a look at that if you need to know or want to know more about the actual program and what the girls had to go through in order to get to New France, what happened once they got here. All of that good stuff is contained in that video. And with that, let's get started and find out who's our girl. So this week's lady is Marie Blanchard. She's actually not a request from a viewer. I don't have her in any of my files. And I just selected her because I liked her story and I wanted to share it. So, but if she is one of your great grandmothers, please let me know. I'll be delighted to know that I connected this lady and found some descendants. So that would be really cool. So let's get to know Marie a little bit more. 49, she was born in the city of Rouen, Normandy, and the church that she would have been baptized in would be Saint-Nicaise. Her parents were Jean Blanchard and Martine Lebas. Rouen is a city on the River Seine in northern France. It's the capital of the region of Normandy. And there is probably no better historical story than the one of Rouen. At one time, it was the largest city in medieval Europe. It played a prominent role in both and French histories from the 11th to the 15th century. Joan of Arc was tried and burned alive here in 1431 in that area. Rouen is a city of cultural and educational significance. We have the Museum of Fine Arts and the Rouen Cathedral are part of the history of this place. It was from this area that the Statue of Liberty sailed in June of 1885. L'Armada, which is held every 4 to 6 years, is a gathering of sailing ships from around the world, which was begun in the 1980s. The next Armada will take place, we are told, in June of 2023. Each Armada has a theme, and the next one should be the Armada of Liberty. So that's kind of a neat connection, if you will. Truly, you can see that Rouen is probably one of those areas. It's probably next to Île d'Orléans. It's probably the next one on my bucket list in terms of where I want to go to in France, just to see it. Probably La Rochelle and then Rouen, because so many of the Shijiazhuang came from this area. 18, she emigrated to New France, bringing with her a dowry worth about £50. She sailed on the Saint-Louis de Dieppe and she arrived September 25th, 1667. Let's see who she selects and who selects her. Well, his name was Michel Mathieu Brunet dit Le Tang, and he was born about 1638 in the town called Tourouve in Percy, Saint-Jean-de-Retz in Percy. I should say. His parents were Jacques Brunet and Jacqueline Raquem. And you can see a little bit of the church of where he would have been baptized. On the right is kind of what the little village looks like to this day. And on the map, you can kind of see where in relationship to Paris and France and all of that is where he is from. Well, I can tell you they didn't waste much time because remember, she arrived September 25th. By November 10th, they were married. So obviously that was fast and furious. So we have Marie and Michel Mathieu married in Quebec City on November 10th, 1667. Where do they locate? So they would settle down in the Seigneurie of Champlain, which was granted on August 8th, 1664. And there attempts to kind of build this land, but it really was a tough one because of the Indian threat, if you will. By 1666, the concessions were granted in the Seigneurie and people started moving there. And so they would have been among the first families. Many of the very, very first families came from Three Rivers. So the families of Antoine Desrosiers, François Chorel, and Pierre Dardonneau are among the first, but certainly Marie and Michel Mathieu would have been truly among the first because they got married in 1667, shortly after the concessions were started. And we have in 1681, we have the census, and we have Michel, Monsieur Michel, 35 years old, his wife Marie, their children, Michel, Jean, Marianne, Jean, Pierre, Marie, and Jacob. They have one cow, and they have 21 arpents. That's one of the largest we've seen. So 21 arpents is about 15 to 16 acres of land. Truly remarkable. So let's have a look at the family they created. They had 10 children. Michel married Marie-Madeleine Moisan and had 8 children, 5 of whom made it to adulthood. He then married Anne-Elisabeth Emeraud and had 3 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Jeanne married François Huard but did not appear to have any children. Marianne married Antoine Pilon and had 12 children, 10 of whom made it to adulthood. Jean married Marie Perrier and had 7 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Pierre would die in infancy. Marie married François Bigrat and had 13 children, 11 of whom made it to adulthood. Jacques married Jeanne Vernet and had 1 child who made it to adulthood before his untimely death at 28. Catherine married Honoré Denis and had 3 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Marguerite died at 17, and unfortunately, Mathieu also died at 18. So now the family would move sometime around 1681, they would move to Montreal. So let's talk a little bit about this amazing city that I love. The wonderful city that would become Montreal started off as Ville-Marie by the founder, Paul de Chomedey, who was the Sieur de Maisonneuve, and was essentially a missionary center. In May of 1642 is the official founding, if you will. The colony would not thrive and it was on the verge of extinction when Chomedey decided to return to France to recruit 100 settlers, which would be known as Le Grand Recruit, the large recruitment. From this small group would evolve the Notre Dame congregation that Sister Marguerite Bourgeois helped to found it. When Montreal was founded, the new colonists were rapidly confronted by a terrible enemy, the Iroquois. Unfortunately, there was no regular army on Montreal soil until 1665, when the Carignan-Chalière Regiment landed there. In the meantime, militias capable of resisting the Iroquois attacks were set up. In 1663, Chomedey created the Saint-Famille Militia to protect Ville-Marie and its inhabitants. It was made up of 139 voluntary colonists divided into 20 squads. A corporal was elected by the members of each squad. The Saint-Famille Militia was headed by Zachary Dupuy, the future owner of the Fief of Verdun. So let's give you a little bit of that kind of history. So So Michel Mathieu would go on to work with Nicolas Perrault, work with, be a voyageur for 5 or 6 years. He would accumulate, obviously money, and would be one of those unsung heroes, if you will, in terms of the efforts that he did and where he would go and travel to be able to feed his family. But that's also why there was like a gap in terms of the children born. And so it's just remarkable that Marie would have, had to tend to the family and be on her own for, years at a time. So eventually the family would move to Verdun and would establish themselves as one of the pioneers of that area as well. So again, they seem to be, and I just think, find it remarkable, they went from Champlain to Ville-Marie to Verdun. He was involved with Nicolas Perrault and did so many of those amazing expeditions. Just a remarkable life story. Unfortunately, that life did end for Michel. He died on December 17th, 1708. He's buried at the Hotel Dieu Chapel. He would have died in hospital, so he must have been suffering from some ailment. At that time, they would have been married almost 40 years. Marie would, stay on her own for about 5 years, but she would eventually remarry. His name was Yves Lucas de Saint-Venant, and they married in 1713. So Marie would have about 9 years with her second husband. She would go on to die herself on the 28th of July, 1722. She was about 73 years old. One of the reasons that I selected Marie is not only for the extraordinary life that they led, but she was among the top filles du roi. I did a conference, a while back, where I actually listed the top 10, and she was up there in terms of the amount of descendants that she had. As of 1729, she and Michel Mathieu would have had 220 descendants as of 1729. So even though I never got this request from any viewer, I know there must be descendants and can't wait to meet them. So that is a remarkable feat in and of itself, and how many children she produced and how many children they produced and all of the above. So with that, she does earn her place in filles du roi history. And I want to also mention some of the filles du roi resources I use. La Société des filles du roi et soldats du Carignan is a society that I belong to. I'm also the membership chair. Even before I joined, I would use this website quite a bit for information. And now that I'm a member, obviously, there's a lot of areas that are member only. So I would urge you to have a look at this particular website and society and see if it's something you would be interested in joining. And then the next one is the Facebook group called Les Filles du Roi Descendants. They have over 5,000 members on that, and that is a wonderful place to meet like-minded people. And then the third one I use is called a Migration, and that is a website that I use just to confirm information, to just get, they've done so much research on Les Filles du Roi. You really must use this and have a look at it. And don't be afraid, you will get lost in the details, because there's so much to explore on this website. That's all I gotta say. You gotta check it out. So those are my top three, but of course I use lots more, but those are specifically designed for Les Filles du Roi. So ends episode number 82, Marie Blanchard, truly a unique and strong woman with 220 descendants. As of 1729, her and her husband would make an impact on three different towns. He would go on to explore parts of North America with Nicolas Perrault, which is a remarkable feat. And they were just truly the essence of pioneers. So if this is your descendancy, you can certainly be proud. And we thank Marie and Michel Mathieu for their contributions. And with that, I leave you until we see you again on episode number 83. Until then, au revoir.